God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading, a reading from Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in the book of this law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us that we may hear and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 25 responsibly. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show
me your ways, O Lord. And lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O God.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious.
Feed the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All the paths
of those who teach your covenant and your testimony. Glory to the Father, and to the Son. Reading from Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to you, to us, your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. As you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Word of God, word of life.
Singing in Spanish. Anybody else? The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. When I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus answered that question about loving the neighbor. The lawyer who was present, and please understand, this is not, you know, against lawyers. It just happens to be a lawyer who asked the question. He wanted a definition. He wanted a definition that he could refer to in case this question ever came up about how one is supposed to treat a neighbor, exactly who is a neighbor. And what he was looking for was a set definition, something along these lines. A neighbor, hereinafter referred to the party of the first part, is to be construed as the meaning of a person of Jewish descent whose legal residence is within a radius of no more than 3 statute miles from one's own legal residence, unless there is a person of Jewish descent, hereinafter referred to as the person of the second party, living closer to the party of the first part than one is oneself, in which case the party of the second part is to be construed as the neighbor to the party of the first part, and one is oneself relieved of all responsibility of any kind whatsoever. Now, this person was looking for a legal definition of neighbor, and that might be what he was looking for. But that's not what Jesus gave him. Jesus didn't give a definition like that. I'm reading a book right now by a Somali woman named Erin Hersey. It's an autobiography called Infidel. And in that story, she tells of one of her earliest memories, sitting under a tree with her grandmother at the age of 3 or 4, and her grandmother going over with her the list of ancestors. By the time she was 5 years old, she could list out her ancestors by father, by father, by father, back 300 years. By the time she was 7, she could go back 800 years with naming in order all of her ancestors. This is what she writes. "Somali children must memorize their lineage. This is more important than almost anything. Whenever a Somali meets a stranger, they ask each other, 'Who are you?' And then they each separately trace back their ancestries until they find a common forefather. If you share a grandfather, even an 8th great-grandfather, with a Somali, the two of you are bound together as cousins. You are members of a great family that forms a clan. You offer each other food and hospitality. Although a child belongs to the clan of his father, it may be useful to remember the details of your mother's bloodline, too, in case you travel and you need a stranger's help, because that stranger, then, is your family, is your neighbor. Those clear lines of who is family, who is neighbor, are all but erased by this familiar story that Jesus tells us. This story, who has heard the story of the Good Samaritan before? I think, you know, when we start hearing the story, we go, oh yeah, I know that one. I know that story, I know what the moral is, I know how it ends, and I know what I'm supposed to do. I know that I am supposed to do like the Good Samaritan, and that's what I'm supposed to be about, that we're supposed to treat others like our neighbor, not just those who are in our clan, not just those who are most like us or who share our values or who live within a certain distance from our home or who we think should be welcomed into the community. We know in this story that God calls us to more. God created all people in the image of God. And not only that, but Christ died for all people. Both God's acts of creation and redemption tell us that at the heart of the Christian identity, of the heart of Christian faith, is the belief that all people are worthy of dignity and have dignity. There are no loopholes here. No need to count back generations to find a common ancestor. No need to find out where a person worships or determine the legitimacy of their story or the true extent of their need. All God's children are our neighbors. Jesus died for all of us. It seems that the lawyer in the story is looking for a loophole. He wants to know precisely what is required in order to, for the sake of justice, in the light of that commandment of God. And as we heard, Jesus responds by telling a story that redefines neighbor not in terms of race or religion or where they live, but defines neighbor in terms of vulnerability. The bottom line, whoever is in need is your neighbor. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't ask, as he sums up this story, he doesn't ask, so who was the Samaritan's neighbor? Rather, he asks, who acted like a neighbor? And the answer, of course, is obvious to the lawyer, and it's obvious to us. It's the Samaritan. He acted like a neighbor. He's the one that went out of his way to help another. But do you notice how this changes things? Suddenly, it isn't the neighbor who simply is the one in need, but rather the one who cared. The neighbor isn't only the guy in the ditch. The neighbor is the one who cared. The neighbor is the one who provided for the need, for our need, who takes care of us. For a lot of this is even more uncomfortable. We would rather go and do likewise when it's about us doing good for someone. When it's about me doing a good deed, I like the end of that story, go and do likewise. Okay, I feel good about myself doing that good deed. But what about go and do likewise when it means to acknowledge that you're the one in the ditch? That you're the one that needs assistance from someone else who is acting like a neighbor to you. This is uncomfortable for us because we spend so much time and energy and money trying to be invulnerable, trying to precisely need others as little as possible. Perhaps it's a fear of being a burden. I hear this a lot from older people. They don't want to be a burden on their kids or on their neighbors. Maybe it's a concern about owing others. Oh, if they do that for me, then, you know, I got to do that for, they gave me a ride to the doctor, now I got to give them a ride. You know, I'd rather just take a cab. Or maybe we're afraid of being vulnerable, of showing what our need is, in case that need isn't really met. And then where are we? You know, still in the ditch. Many of us are totally mortified by the idea of showing our need to others. Gosh, some of us even have a hard time accepting a compliment, let alone accepting help from someone else. It seems to me that according to Jesus, being neighbor doesn't involve only giving help, but also being willing to receive it, even, or maybe most especially, to and from those we don't normally see as like us. So maybe we need to hear the call not only to do God's work with our hands, but to hear God's call to open our hands to receive God's work that others are wanting to do on our behalf. God has worked through so many people to care for us. God still wants to meet our needs through others, and sometimes through those others that we would least expect or want to help us. God invites us then to look around and care for others in need as well, our neighbors of every sort. We are the ones in the ditch. And by God's grace, neighbors have reached out to us and pulled us up so that now we can stand and be neighbors to others, that we can act as a neighbor to those who are in need. God, help us in being God's hands in the world today. God's work, our hands. Open to receive help as well as open to give help. Amen.